ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Praise God. Glory be to God. Okay, so today it's Thanksgiving, and I'm really excited to be part of the Thanksgiving service. As I was discussing with Pastor, he told me, Emeka, just feel free to flow with the Spirit and whatever God lays on your heart. So taking some time to pray and seek the face of God concerning this service, you know, I just noticed that God kept pointing my direction in the place of faith and thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Faith, tell somebody next to you, faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. So, we're going to look at the example of Abraham, especially along the lines of thanksgiving. And why am I going in this direction? You know, sometimes when we get to services like this, depending on how it is done in your church, you know, sometimes there are testimonies, people come up and say some amazing things that God has done in their lives. Some people bought cars, some people got delivered from accidents, you know, some people got healed of life-threatening illnesses, you know, and you just keep hearing some amazing testimonies. You know, I know that we like to quote this scripture in Revelation chapter, is it 11 verse 13, you know, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. And we like saying that, you know, and people come and they come and they say some amazing things and sometimes jaw-dropping testimony. They're like, my God, you know, some people can come, you can hear testimonies like, you know, I got this contract, I've been believing God for it for some time, you know, and I got this contract of 12 figures, you know, and you're like, oh my God, you know, and you hear some of those amazing testimonies and you ask yourself, you know, and you talk to yourself and say, Lord, you know, I've been believing you for just this small thing, you know, and it has not happened. Look at that person, you know, look at this other person, look at that other person. And sometimes you begin to see yourself sink in despair. Hallelujah. You know, you begin to see yourself sink lower and lower and lower because in your mind, right, there is nothing to give thanks to God for. Glory be to God. You know, I know those kind of people are not here. You know, this is a very matured and spiritual church. You know, but I do understand that in the race of life, sometimes, you know, like they say, all fingers are not equal. Sometimes we get to meet our own set of storms and difficulties in life. Like Jesus was in a storm in a boat with his disciples, you know, and he was sleeping all the way, you know. And Paul also met a storm, right? And he was going to get killed by the storm. You know, so sometimes you're going through life and things get a little bit more difficult. You know, and in your mind, you're asking yourself, Lord, where are you? Like, I'm looking around, I can't see you. Like, I'm looking around, I'm really, really searching, I can't see you. You know, and we come to a service like this, everybody's all looking beautiful and handsome in their royal robes and with colorful, you know, and you said, Lord, there is no reason to even be in service today. It's no reason. I just want to go back home, go under my duvet, cover myself, and sleep. Now, but the truth is, the Bible says that in everything, what we should we do? We give thanks. So that's what we're going to look at, and we're going to look at the example of Abraham. And just go from there and see how to consciously, Praise God. How to consciously, as individuals, as believers, in that moment where you feel that you are in your deepest woes, how to consciously come out of it through praise and thanksgiving. Praise God forevermore. So let's go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. You know, one day I was teaching in our Hausa campus. You know, it's interesting. And I needed to use an interpreter because, I mean, there were Hausa speaking people. You know, I said, open your Bible to Romans. And the interpreter said, he said what he said in Hausa and says, open your Bible to Romawa. Yeah, it's amazing, you know. So it was interesting. So I started looking for more difficult, books of the Bible to open to so that I can hear how it is. It's pronounced in Hausa. It's just interesting. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. We'll spend some time here, so we'll just go one step at a time. Remember, we're talking about faith and what? Thanksgiving. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. The Bible says, and he received the sign of circumcision. He's talking about Abraham, right? He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness, of faith, or of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. How many of us will raise up their hands today and say, I'm a believer? Let me see your hands up. Anybody? Like, how many people will say, I am a believer? Glory be to God. You know what the job description of believers are? Can somebody tell me? What's the job description of a believer? They believe. That's your job description. You see, believers are not doubters. So tell your neighbor, I am a believer. I am not a doubter. You see, when we sing the song, Abraham's blessings are mine, you know, what we are actually saying is that we're children of Abraham. And the way we become children of Abraham is because we what? We believe. So let's continue reading. That he might be the father of those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision, this is verse 12, to those who not only are of the circumcision, but who also walk in the steps of the faith which our father Abraham had while he was still uncircumcised. So I want to pause here and explain that. He's saying that we're not only children of Abraham, right, that Abraham is our father because we walk in the steps of his faith. Right? Because we walk in the steps of his faith. Let's keep reading because we'll just go down. Verse 13. Let's keep going. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So Abraham inherited the promise because of his faith. You know, verse 14. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. So he's saying that as believers, you know, the way we enter into God's righteousness and inheritance is by faith. Verse 15. Because the law brings about wrath or judgment, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. So what we are talking about is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all seed, not only to those who are of the law, not only to the Jews, but also to those who are of the faith of who? Abraham, who is the father of how many people? Hallelujah. So we then get into verse 17. And I just want to point out four things that Abraham did in the time of his deepest trials. Right? I want to point out four things that Abraham did in the times of his deepest trials. You know, if the Bible says that we should follow the faith of Abraham, we want to ask ourselves the question, what exactly, the Bible says we follow the faith steps. What steps did Abraham take that got him to where he was. And if we can take those steps in following after his faith, we will also come out of our own deepest trial. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. You know, so verse 17, the Bible says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was written, so shall your descendants be. So stop. What was the first thing that Abraham did? Abraham believed the word of God in the face of contradictory evidence. Right? Abraham believed the word of God in the face of contradictory evidence. Now, let me explain this. The Bible says, and this is interesting, it says that who contrary to hope, that word hope, you see, he uses hope twice there. Who contrary to hope, you know, the Bible says in hope believed. So you can translate this way, that who contrary to natural evidences, natural expectations, right? Now, what was the natural expectation and what was Abraham's deepest problem at this time? He and his wife were past the age of childbearing, but God had given them his word, and in the natural sense of things, they couldn't have children. But the Bible says that who, contrary to natural what? Expectations, in faith or in hope, believed God. That means that his faith began to give substance to his expectation. So that when the natural says, you cannot have this, his faith says, because God's word says it, I can do what? Have it. Remember how we started? We started out saying that today is Thanksgiving service. People are excited. We're all excited about the good things God is doing in our lives, right? You know, and some people might come here and say to themselves, well, there is really nothing to give thanks for. I mean, last month I lost my job, you know, 2 months ago, you know, the landlord kicked me out of the house. I had to go perch with somebody, you know, and you're looking at things like that 3 months ago, you know, and it looks like you're having back-to-back what? Trials and distresses. And you say, what is there to give thanks to God for? You know, and you look at that. I want you to understand that you are, first of all, you are not alone. That the great fathers of faith ahead of you have come to the point in their life too where they had this same situation. And the Bible is very clear to us about how they got out of it. So what did Abraham do? The Bible says, you know, that he believed God. See, the Bible says that we have this anchor. Yeah, we have this word as an anchor to our souls. Now, if you read that thing contextually, you know, and interestingly, we're talking about Abraham in Hebrews. He said that God looked around to see who to swear by. And since he couldn't swear by anyone who was greater, he swore by himself. This is what it means. You know, today we don't do all, swearing means something different in our own language. You know, the word there actually means an oath, right? And this is what it says, that God looked around and said, I can't swear by angels. They are too small. I can't swear by the heavens. I created it, right? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my reputation on the line. That if my word doesn't come to pass, then I am worth nothing. That is what he was telling Abraham. The Bible then says that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie. What were those two immutable things? One, the promise. That means that if God says it, it cannot be a lie, right? The other thing is that the second immutable things, immutable means you can't change it. The second immutable thing was the oath. That God confirmed his promise and backed it up with his oath. And said, I put my reputation on the line. If I said it, it will happen. So, when Abraham heard the word of God to him and saw how God put his reputation on the line, what did Abraham do? I believe that. You see, this New Testament was sealed with the blood of Jesus. That God has to vacate his throne for his word to fail. You know, so what did Abraham do? Abraham decided that, you know what, I am going to believe God's word. That was the first thing he did. Number two, what was the second thing he did? The Bible says in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, tell somebody, weak in faith. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was almost 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, this is a very simple way to test if you are weak in faith. So the second step, let me just give it to you so I don't forget. Abraham did not consider the contradictory evidence. That's the second step. Abraham did not consider the contradictory evidence. Now let's look at this. And this is where I hope I'm not messing up your camera. You know, I know I've been walking around a lot. You know, this is what the Bible is saying. And being not weak in faith, he did not consider the contradictory evidence. This is what it means. That the moment you begin to pay attention to the storms that are going on around you, your faith begins to drop. Simple. I know, like I'm saying, you know, I was talking to somebody, and the person said, I know it's not that easy as you make it sound. I'm saying it's simple in the sense that you can understand it. Think about it, and we know this already, that what worry is you just playing over the problems that you are going through without any solution. You're just, hey, what will I do now? What will I do? Can you imagine? You know, and you keep going on and on and on and on and on and on. You see, what that does is that your faith begins to drop. Typical example is Peter. Jesus was walking on water. They were sailing in the boat. They saw Jesus. They said, it is a ghost. Jesus said, no, guys, calm down. It is me. They said, okay, if it is you, Peter said, okay, if it is you, tell me to come. Jesus said, what? Come. So Peter stepped out of the boat based on nothing else but on the word of Jesus to him that says, what? Come. Now, Peter is a fisherman. You need to understand this, that Peter's life is around the water. You know, if there's anybody that needs to believe that you cannot walk on water, the person is who? Peter. Whether the water is calm or it is turbulent, whatever it is, if there is anybody that will, you cannot convince that you can walk on water, that person's name is Peter. But you know what? He stepped out in faith and started walking on water towards Jesus. Now, this is what happened, and this is what happens to the best of us. As you're walking on water, right? As you're working on God's word, the devil comes to test your faith to see if what you are working on, you actually believe it. Right? So you begin to see, he begins to throw the storms around you, the wind. And it's just going around. The moment you take your eyes off the word of God,
and look at the wind,
you begin to sink. That's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, what? The author and the finisher of our faith. So, if you are that person I described, what do you need to do? You wake up in the morning. What does the word of God say concerning my situation? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, and my God shall supply my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. As you're going, you know, what's it called? Your debtors are calling you. And you say, please give me some time. You know, as they drop the phone, the devil says, oh boy, if they lie, let them give you 10 years. You cannot pay that money back. You know, I am like, my God shall supply my need according to his riches in glory by Christ. He said, look at you. You see, they've just fired you. Where are you going to get job? If you like, cry from now to tomorrow. Nothing is going, my God shall supply my need according to his riches in glory by Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, this is a physical warfare. Now, physical, I'm trying to say it is a tangible warfare. Right? You know, in the sense that now I'm not using warfare like, you know, that's not where I'm going to. I'm saying that we need to consciously cast down all imaginations and bring every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God to the obedience of who? Of Christ. Glory be to God. So the devil is saying, oh boy, nah, you don't end. Your own, you are done for. Like, just go and write your obituary. You are gone. You know, what will you say? And my God shall supply my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. They just call you and say, ah, oh boy, you see that business that you just invested in? The guy don't carry your money wrong. You know, you say, and my God shall supply my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's what Abraham did. He did not consider the contradictory what? Evidence. When you start out, you might have to do it every second. You see? So I'm not trying to tell you that you're just going to feel some anointing come on you, you know, like you see it in the movies, and you take your Bible and you say, you will not feel like it. Hallelujah. You will not feel like coming out of your bed. But what do? You carry your body. Stand up. And my God shall supply all my need. You look into, what does the Bible again say about this? You know, so according to this scripture, all my needs are met, all my bills are paid, and all my debts are paid in full. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Abraham did not what? Consider the contradictory what? Evidence. That's number two. Number three, Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God. Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God. Verse 20. The Bible says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He did not waver. What does it mean to waver? You're in Lagos, you probably have visited, if no other beach, the one that I've visited since is Bar Beach. I know it doesn't exist again. Or I don't know what's happening there. You know, it's in the 90s. That's the last time I visited a beach in Lagos. You know, but if you go there, you will see the waves of the sea. You know, it's coming and beating on the sand. And it's going back. It's coming and beating on the sand. I mean, in a beach that is done really well, you can sit down and just enjoy yourself, just watching the water come and all that. Some people say, what kind of life is that? You know, what kind of waste of time is that? You know, but yes, yeah, they say it's therapeutic, just sitting down in the beachside. You know, somebody say, when my money come? You can start it now in faith. Hallelujah. So you see the waves of the sea, it is not stable. You see, the moment you are not stable, you are high today, you are low tomorrow. Pastor comes on Sunday and preaches a sermon, everybody is jumping, you know, and all that, everybody is excited, right? And you just go out and you just see a text message on your phone. boy, this life, sir. This life, no balance. You know? And you are like, this life, no balance. And you come to midweek service. And pastor comes again and charges you up. And everybody is like, on Thursday morning, your boss just called, oh boy, which kind of life is this? You know? What are you doing?
Wavering.
You are wavering. You are like the waves of the sea. James said, anybody who wavers at the promises of God, let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Pretty strong statement. Pretty strong statement. So what did Abraham do? The Bible says he did not stagger. So that means Abraham did a lot of catching himself. And you need to catch yourself. Somebody just calls you, boy, my... See, waiting just they happen. You know, and the person is offloading their troubles and problems on you. And you say, even me, you wanted to go into even me too. You just say, praise God, thank you. You know, you just catch yourself. You say, you know what? The word of God is true. You know, the word of God is true. The Bible says that he supplies all our need. We can never go under in this country. You see, if they like, let one grain of rice be 1,000 naira, we will still have food on our table to eat. You see, that person will just shut up in a hurry. And very soon they will stop calling you. That if they are not willing to participate. You know, and you just go, you just see some people talking. You just know that is a pity party. You just turn your back and say, I'll see you people, I'm coming. You need to do a lot of what? Catching yourself. You see, there is something about pity that every human being likes. You know, where people are saying, I understand. It happens to the best of us. You know, and you keep going like that. And you are just feeling, that people are on my side. You understand? It doesn't affect the price of fish in the market. If you go to the market, the price of fish will still be what? The same thing, or even go higher. Hallelujah. So, what do you need to do? We're talking about Abraham, right? You know, what do you need to do? You stand still at the promises of God. Stand firm. Having done all to stand, what do? You wake up in the morning, you know, you look at it again. Your account balance is still the same thing. You go about your daily business. You come back at night. Your account balance is still the same. What do? You keep standing. You wake up again. 2 weeks later, it hasn't changed. What do? Some people are not sure. I said 2 weeks later, and the situation hasn't changed. What do? You stand. 6 months later, and the situation hasn't changed. What do? You see, until you get to the point where you are ready to stand till you die. And we're getting there. I'm not trying to tell you something that will be easy to do the first day. It's something you can master. You see, there are some people that are masters of the art of faith. You know, there's a book like The Art of War, The Art of This One, The Art of That One. There is the art of faith. You have to master it. That when the next time you see a situation come, you're like David, you're laughing. You know, I've killed the lion and the bear. Now, did David know exactly what to do? I'm not sure he knew exactly how he was going to kill the Philistine. But he said, see, I killed that lion. I killed that bear. You see, this guy is going down. You know, that's somebody who has what? Mastered what? The art of faith. Abraham, he did not stagger. He did not stagger at the promises of God. And finally, this is really where we are going to. Number four is where we are going to. You know? Number four, the Bible says Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham was what? Strong in faith, giving glory to God. So, verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And the next verse then says what? And being fully convinced that what he has promised, he was able to do what? You see, some people want to be here, but they are not willing to go through the steps to get there. That's why it's called the faith steps of Abraham. Some people want to be fully, you see, pastor will just come out and say, I dare anybody, you know, and comes out and makes statements of faith and you see it happen. You think he just started out there. You know, and you two want to go and, you know, stay and spend time where? In the Word, following the step, one step what? At a time. The fourth thing Abraham did was that he was strong in faith. Notice the first one, we talked about being weak in faith. That he was not weak in faith, looking at what? The contradictory evidence. So you already now know how to be weak in faith. If you want to be weak in faith, what do you do? Look at the contradictory evidence. Now, we are about to find out how to be strong in faith. The way to be strong in faith is to give praise and glory to God. It's not rocket science. He said, being strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. So you see, when you are not looking at the contradictory evidence, you say, Lord, I just want to thank you because I am healed. Lord, I just want to thank you. You start dancing. I did that this morning. You start dancing in your room. Somebody say, what music are you dancing to? Nothing. I'm just dancing to the Word. I'm dancing in thanks and giving, thanksgiving and praise to God. Lord, I just want to thank you because I'm healed. Lord, I just want to thank you because I'm well provided for. Lord, I just want to thank you because all my needs are met and all my bills are paid. Somebody say, are all your needs met and are all your bills paid? You say, no. So why are you thanking God? Well, I just want to thank him because I know that that's how my faith is strengthened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, that is what faith is. See, faith is not rocket science. You know, it is not. If it were rocket science, only the rocket scientists would know how to live by faith. And the rest of us mere mortals, you know, would have been done for. So, give praise and glory to God. We have an example like this, Paul and Silas. How many of us remember that story? Well, if you don't remember the story, you can remember the song. Paul and Silas, they prayed. They sang, the Holy Ghost came down. Hallelujah. You know, we can start church like that already on that song. You know, you can remember Paul and Silas. One thing you don't know is that it wasn't a very funny situation. You know, when they said they prayed and sang, you thought that is, you know, the type of trouble you are going through is the one that they wake you up for night vigil. And it's like, oh my God. You know, but I mean, we are suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ because they woke you up for night vigil. It's not that type of prayer. Hallelujah. It's not that kind of prayer. You know, you see, Paul and Silas, even if they wanted to sleep, they couldn't sleep. It's that kind of prayer. That it was midnight, but they couldn't sleep. Why? Because their backs were bleeding and paining them. Their hands and their feet, you see, they described it, that their hands and feet were put in stocks and chained together. So they were just like this. Sitting down like this. So you can't even sleep in that position. I don't care if you are number world champion sleepers. You know, once you get in that position with the pain and everything, you can't even sleep. The natural response to that kind of pain, Paul and Silas would have been quarreling each other. Paul, now you. Now, if you know the story, and this is very important. If you know the story of how Silas got to join Paul's company, you know that he wouldn't have been found it funny. They sent Silas' message from Jerusalem to go and see what Paul is doing in Antioch. He followed them. You know, and when they finished, his partner said, oh boy, make we they go back to Jerusalem. He said, make I just stay small. That's how he joined Paul's company. He said, you they go at the call. Make I just chill. You know? And that was when Paul and Silas and Paul and Barnabas had that fight. Guess who was there to go? You know, Paul now said, oh boy, Barnabas don't go. Who won't follow? Silas said, what thing are they do now? Make I follow. You know, and he followed. You know, and they went to one of the cities, and Yahweh con gas. He would have just looked at say, which kind of life? You see, my brother is already in Jerusalem, enjoying himself. Nobody is disturbing him. Which kind of life did I come to like this? You see, they are human beings. It's the same complaint would have made. You know, you would have thought about your, God, now, who forced me come here? You know, so the natural response there would have been to what? To complain. In fact, he would have fought Paul. Paul, your own self too much. Look at that girl. Was she disturbing you? What? Do you understand? He would have started, you know, you see, it happens to all of us. That, you know, that's the natural way to respond. But you see, in the midnight hour, now that was midnight. But you see, there are times where the midnight hour is not in the midnight. When you are going through the biggest trials of your life. You know, and it looks like you are under the barrel and they've covered you inside. They are just about to cover your nose. You know, and you look like, it looks like you are done for. You see, that is the problem. That's the place to say, like Psalms, in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Glory be to God. You know, that's the way to just, as long as they didn't jail your mouth, you can keep giving praise. Hallelujah. You know, so you stand up from where you are and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, give him praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, this is very key. He says, forget not his benefits. You see, what the contradictory circumstances will want to get you to do is to forget the benefits of God. Hallelujah. So you say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Next verse. The Bible says, who forgives? No, it is a sum. I mean, he would have said some and it would still be okay. But he said he forgives all my iniquities. Lord, you just stand up and say, Lord, I just want to give you thanks. That even though I am walking towards maturity, when I sin against you, you always forgive my sins. Lord, I just want to give you thanks for saving a man like me. That when I was in the world, things was really, really bad. I was a bad boy, but you saved me. Lord, I just want to give you thanks. Some people are saying, what is this? You are giving God thanks. That's the benefit of the Lord. That's the benefit. And you say, Lord, I just want to give you thanks. Lord, I just want, like David, you know, I have killed the bear. I have killed the lion. You know, the same God is the God over all. This guy is coming down. So he says, who has forgives all your iniquities? But he didn't stop there. The benefits of the Lord, there are more. He says, who heals all your diseases? Lord, I just want to give you thanks. You saved me from COVID. You know, you saved me from this disease. You saved me. I'm still standing. I just want to give you thanks. I'm still standing. You know, the devil would have put me down if they let him, but I'm still standing. You know, the devil would have thrown me away if they let him, but I'm still standing. The devil would have drowned me if they let him, but I'm still standing. Lord, I want to give you what? Praise. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. You see, you can walk yourself up, you know, into joy. You can preach yourself happy. Right? Somebody say, well, you have to wait for the preacher. Take your Bible and preach a sermon to yourself. My wife was just telling me this morning that she had to preach a sermon to herself. I said, go, girl, preach it to yourself. You open the Bible and start preaching to yourself. Stand in front of the mirror and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Emeka, it's time to bless God. I know you don't feel like it, but you have to give God praise. You know, you walk yourself up into rejoicing. Glory be to God. What did he say in the next verse? He said, who redeems your life from destruction? He said, Lord, I just want to thank you. You see, there was that accident that happened that was supposed to take my life. But you see, I'm still standing. I want to give you praise because I have been redeemed from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I want to give you praise. I just want to give you thanks. I just want to give you thanks. You have redeemed my life from destruction. He says, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? You see, you are blessing God. The Paul said that who shall separate us? What can separate us from the love of God? You know, that no matter what happens, you still love me. You know, the Bible says, see, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Ah, Lord, I just want to thank you because you love me. Jesus was praying one time. He told us, he was praying to God. He said, Father, I want to thank you because you love them as much as you love me. Glory be to God. That means that if you and Jesus stand before the Father and make a prayer, God will not answer his own better than yours. What are you doing? You are giving thanks. You are giving thanks. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. You know, I tell you a story one time, you know, and that's how I got a hold of this scripture. One time, you know, as a teenager, just getting a hold of Brother Higgins' materials and reading some of all these things. You know, my parents had gone out. By the time you have a 17-year-old in the house, you can travel. You know, because I was first son. So they just said, Mika can take care of things. And they disappeared, my father and my mom. So, you know, I had 3-4 other siblings. You know, and all of us just fell sick. Somehow, I don't know whether we're missing our dad or our mom or something. We all fell sick, you know, and I was throwing up. My sister was trying to help me clean up, you know, and when she finished, you know, as I was going back to bed, God said, what are you doing? I said, I'm tired. I'm feeling feverish, you know. He said, what are you? Get up. And he led me to this scripture. So I started walking through my room. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. You know, I just started walking through my room. There was no other thing to do. You know, there was no other thing to do. I just kept walking through my room and just kept giving God thanks. I kept giving God thanks. I kept giving God thanks until the anointing hits the ground. You know, and I was running all over the place. And I was running all over the place. And I kept giving God thanks. You know, when I was done, you know, I wanted to go back to bed. He said, your siblings are sick. What are you going to do about it? I said, well, I'm going to lay my hands on them and get them healed. So I went to each of their rooms. In the name of Jesus, rise up. In the name of Jesus, rise up. Do you know that before evening, all of us were well and hearty? We didn't take any pill. We just rejoiced in the Lord. When our parents came back, we just looked at them, welcome. We gave them food. They were like, how is everything? We're fine. Nobody did even know that anybody was sick. That's how I got a hold of this scripture. So at any point in time when I get into a hard place, I go back to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So this is what we are telling you, and I'm about to wrap up. It is time to get up and give God praise. Hallelujah. It is time to get up and give God praise. It doesn't look like it. It might not feel like it. It might not smell like it. But give God praise anymore. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Give God praise in the house. Come on, let's rise up and give him praise. Give God praise in the house. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And Lord, just thank him. Just thank him. Give him thanks. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving is an expression of faith. We give you thanks. Oh, we give you thanks. Thank you, Father. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And forget not all his benefits. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord, I just want to thank you. Lord, I give you praise. Lord, I give you praise. Praise God forevermore. Glory, glory, glory. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,